Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, thank you, Dan Hurst. Appreciate Dan and that wonderful voice. I mean, you and I sound like Muppets after he talks.
Stunning. I mean, seriously.
He is.
His voice is unbelievable.
He's on all these radio commercials and these other things. And we got Kyle on the board. We love Kyle.
We love Kyle.
When he's not playing Candy Crush. Hey, welcome to, what is this, Revitalize and Replant with Mark Halleck over here. Say hello, Mark.
Hey, guys.
We
good
are
to
in
see
Denver.
You.
Beautiful, beautiful. Actually, Inglewood, Colorado.
That's
at
right.
Mark's church.
Yes.
We are so grateful to be
in
here
the
today.
Sanctuary today.
In the sanctuary.
In the old sanctuary.
In the sanctuary today.
You know, imagine the history of this place. Man.
I know.
It's pretty cool to think about.
Like right after the Second World War, it's one of those Southern Baptist bowling alley kind of sanctuaries, long and narrow. And
you bet.
But man, there's a lot going on here
Amen.
Every week. It's
God's
a great
good.
Place.
God
love
is
it.
Good.
I love it. Hey, we're going to talk today about how to increase people's commitment to gathered worship. Our last episode, if you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to it. We talked about really five reasons people are less inclined to be regular in worship attendance, five challenges we have to face that maybe we didn't face a decade ago. But today we're going to talk about really five ways you can encourage gathered worship. And Mark, tell me why gathered worship is so important.
It's so important for so many reasons. The first one is because God's worthy of our worship. He's our God. We love Him. We want to worship Him. We want to praise Him. He desires our worship. And so part of the health of growing, especially in revitalization, is we've got to help our people rediscover in many ways the joy of worshiping our great God together. And so this is a really important one. So we talk about the first number one is make worship meaningful.
Okay.
So when you hear that, what comes to your mind, Mark?
Well, I was in South Carolina a couple of years ago at a pastor's meeting, a couple hundred pastors there. It was a question and answer time. And this one dear brother in the most South Carolinian accent I've ever heard stood up, and I can't do it, but you can imagine this really strong South Carolinian accent. And he said, you know, Brother Mark, he said, I'm just so frustrated. My people are just not regular in attendance. He said, even my leadership, it's no big deal for them to miss one Sunday or a next or be gone two or three Sundays in a row doing sports or camping. It's just like they have no commitment. And he goes, you know, what can we do to shake these people up and help them? What am I? I'm about ready to really get upset with some folks here. And do we put some rules and regulations? If you're going to serve in the church, you got, you know, and I don't know. For some reason, at that point, all I could think of was this, and so this is how I responded. Bro, rather than looking at them, why don't we look at ourselves and say, what about the way we do worship makes people think it's no big deal if we miss it week after week?
Wow, yeah.
I mean, doesn't that say something? Now, in the previous podcast, we talked about all the way the adversary has of drawing people away from corporate worship. But that just means it's even more incumbent upon us to put all kinds of effort and time and spiritual commitment and prayer into every worship service so that we communicate to our folks, God is here.
Yeah.
The gathered worship, the Holy Spirit is among us. Anything can happen. You do not want to miss this.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if it means sitting home and watching it on your screen, you want to be here. You don't want to miss out on what's going on.
Amen. That's exactly right. And as a part of that, the importance of preaching, you know, I would say, listen, part of that corporate worship is, you know, you and I have heard a million sermons in our day, and you can tell when a pastor has prayerfully worked on this message to deliver the people. You know, Richard Baxter said, preach as a dying man to dying men, as if this is your last. And I get it. You know, you may be bivocational. There's a lot of challenges, but here's the truth. God's people are hungry for the word of God. And preaching in our day, sadly, in a lot of contexts, has become more entertainment than real nourishment. And what I would say is nourish the sheep, feed the sheep, preach the word, and your people will see worship is meaningful, not just to not just to hang out and come eat donuts beforehand, but the word of God is being preached.
Hey man, sometimes in these podcasts, we just accidentally swerve right into the truth. And people do not need us to entertain them.
No.
They have more entertainment options than we could possibly imagine.
Oh, my gosh.
Right on their iPhone.
Too much.
Right?
Too much entertainment.
So if we try to be entertaining in worship, we're gonna fail.
Oh, man.
It's not. But if we focus on preaching, you know, Martin Lloyd-Jones, it's Logic on Fire,
right? Yeah, that's right.
That is so powerfully important. Yeah. I don't want to miss that preaching moment. You know, I remember one time Jill and I, we went to Glorieta. That was the old Southern Baptist Conference in New Mexico, and we were taking some students there, and it was going to be a whole week of Piper preaching every morning and every evening, and actually I think Mercy Me was doing the music or something back in the day, and so it was like we couldn't wait to get in that sanctuary ahead of time early. Because we wanted it, because we knew whatever he was going to say was going to be fire. Right?
Yeah, amen.
And I'm not telling you you've got to be that kind of preacher. Yeah, There's not very many John Piper.
He's unique.
But he never mailed it in.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
he never tried to entertain us.
That's exactly right.
Okay? And I could give you other guys. Oh, Henry Blackaby, the same way. Jim Elliff, the same way. These guys don't mail it in. They don't try to entertain. But they are so prayed up.
Yes.
And so
amen.
So ready to deliver the word. And you want to be present when that happens.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, and that's what's missing. And so I think making worship meaningful. And by the way, go back a couple of podcasts. We did a whole series of podcasts on worship.
Yes.
So listen to those.
Yep.
We won't recap it all here. But I would say to you, if your folks are basically sort of nonchalant about coming to church, it probably says a lot more about your worship service than you want to know.
Let me say one last thing about this. I know we go on and on. But I think part of your goal as a pastor and a leader every week is to help your people see, and you can't fake this unless you believe, that God is better than all the stuff they're staring at, hearing about all week long.
Yeah.
If I came to your worship service, would I leave going, that pastor believes what he's saying?
That's right.
God is better. He is bigger than anything. And if not, if I leave going, man, that was a bore, then we've dishonored the Lord, quite frankly.
Or, and I know it's hard because we may not get through all five of these. I know it's hard because it's discouraging. If you're in a declining church and it seats 600 and you got 50 there, and because I'm preaching at a church now that seats over 600, we have about 40 there now. It's a revitalization. And they don't all set together, they spread out. And some Sundays they're not all there, right? So you have 30 there.
Yep.
And if you come in as discouraged and despondent over that, and even a little bit ticked off because they're not here, that communicates.
That
Who
does.
Wants to be around that?
Totally.
But you come in, if there's 30 people, you come in, you know, I'm so grateful to be here. You know, one day we're going to see every one of these seats filled. Yeah. One day they're going to be, that nursery is going to be, can you all see that with me? Can we see that God wants to do that?
That's so good, man. And God's there.
And God's there.
Preach for, you know, this, again, speaking of Piper, his book, The Supremacy of God in Preaching,
is
at the end of the day, even if nobody shows up, God is there. I want to preach my guts out for the glory of God. Okay, here's number two.
Number two.
Emphasize the family aspect of church membership. Why don't you talk about that one?
Yeah, you know, J.D. Greer recently preached a sermon, posted some things, and some people were a little torqued at him for that. Anytime you post something, people get torqued at you. But basically, he was saying, people who kind of come late to church and leave right after it's over, he was really saying, you know, you're really dishonoring the family.
You know,
it's like, I've got a family vacation coming up, right? I'm a high introvert. I really am.
You are. That's
my
true.
Idea of a vacation is probably not being with a whole extended family, you know,
for days and days,
you know, my idea of vacation is in my basement with the lights turned off. That's kind of my idea of vacation. But because I love my family and I have responsibility to my family, I am going to engage with my family. And here's the deal. Once I start engaging, I love it.
Yeah.
I have a great time.
Yeah.
It's never a failure, okay? And so I think, you know, I remember one time Eric Mason was speaking and he said people would come up to him and say, you know, brother, we've been in church now, we've been a member here, and we just don't feel loved, we don't feel accepted, and we're going to go somewhere else. And he said, well, how long have you been a member here? They said a year. He said, try staying 20 years and really engaging in this place and see if you tell me the same thing. And there's some truth in that.
Yeah, there is.
So go ahead, tell me about that.
I think that's so right. I mean, if you just think about family, what does it mean to be a family? We're committed to each other. We show up to the dinner table, even when we don't want to, or we want to watch the game or whatever. And the thing is, I think what we forget is the power of family.
Yeah.
And I would say this, you know, if you're in a small declining church, one of the things, again, we're not anti-big church here at all, but one of the great strengths of a smaller church is the family environment. You feel, people feel loved, they feel cared for, and so lean into that.
Oh, yeah.
They're not just a number showing up, but man, they're part of the family. And so emphasize that aspect of your church membership.
And in a previous podcast, last week we talked about blended families and how that impacts regular church attendance, because sometimes the kids are with different parents on different weekends. But you have two families in this world. You ought to talk about this on Sundays. We have two families. You have a biological family. And some of you, God blessed you with an incredible biological family. It's the best blessing in your life. Others, it's just sort of neutral. And there are people in your church that their biological family is really, it's really the most painful thing they've ever experienced.
That's right.
And that's just a reality.
Yeah, it is.
But as a believer in Christ, you have another family.
Amen.
It's this
Amen.
Church family.
Amen, that's right.
That's why we call each other brother and sister.
Yep.
And man, this is a place to be family, to care for each other, to take care of each other, to love each other, to walk through life with each other. Man, embrace this family.
Yeah, that's
if you've
right.
got a good biological family, that's a plus. But if you don't have one, this is the place to be. And again, I know it's so overstated, but you get as much out of it as you put into it. And so I agree with what J.D. Greer said. You know, if you show up late and you leave early, and look, I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
I'm
tempting.
The kind of guy,
it's tempting
I want
to
come
do
in after the greet time,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So I want to do that. But and my wife, even I'm the pastor. Look, people who are listening to this that at Linwood, where I'm pastor, I can't lie, because they know. When church is over, I'm ready to go home.
You're spent.
I'm spent. And my wife is the greeter. She stands at the door greeting everybody. She brings the donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And when church is over, I'll come up to her and I'll say, you know, I say, yeah, ready to go, babe. And she'll say, well, you can go out to the truck, but we're not leaving yet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and she'll oftentimes, in a very sweet way, she'll say, you need to go talk to those people.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Because it's not my nature.
It's true. It's true. And let's flip it. So I'm the extrovert in this relationship, right? So I would say if you're wired like me and you get energy from being with people, man, lean into that on Sundays. You stink and touch and hug and encourage everybody you can. You run out to the truck before they leave because you weren't able to say hi to their kiddos yet. And you give them some high fives.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah. If you're wired like that, again, you got to know how you're wired.
Yeah. And if you're not wired like that, like I am,
that's right.
Then you just muster it up, and for that morning, you do that. And basically, this is the truth. I'm speaking to introverts here, all right, guys? If you do it, you go home feeling so good that
you did it. That's right.
If you don't do it, you go home feeling really guilty.
No, that's right.
Because I've gone home and gone, man, you know, I did get out of there quickly,
right.
but I don't feel good about that.
Yep.
I'm just
and wouldn't you, and I know you would say this too, this is also where, like your wife, there are others in the church that are just ready to be unleashed. They are extroverted.
Right.
Let's mobilize them
exactly.
to make sure they help love other people.
You know, one
well,
time, you know? Henry Blackaby, he's always talking about hearing God's voice, and you know, people would sometimes criticize him for stuff like that. And they said, well, Henry, what's God's voice sound like? And Henry used to say in that really quiet way, he'd say, well, oftentimes it sounds just like Marilyn. It was his wife.
I can hear him saying that.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know,
God speaks through our wives. All right. What's the next one?
Okay, number three, make expectations clear at the outset.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, when they become a church member, you need to have some sort of orientation, church member orientation, introduction, whatever. So they know being a church, even before they join, right? I'm not talking after they join, before they join.
Yeah.
They express an interest, they want to join the church. Great. Here's a church covenant.
Yep.
Here's what it means.
Yep.
And regular church attendance is really expected.
Yep.
And it's not something that we take lightly.
That's right.
And you know, back in the day, if we didn't tell people that, they would come to it with the idea that regular church attendance for them was once a month. Mm. We need to let them know what that means. Do you have
I would say this. This is the loving leading part of being a pastor. I think a lot of folks man, they want to step up. They just need to be led. And so if you're just afraid of having conversations and to win them to a bigger vision of saying, hey, you need the church more than you realize.
Yeah.
And part, we want membership to mean something in this church. Sadly, in a lot of churches, membership doesn't really mean anything other than you can vote a few times a year. For us at Calvary, membership's a big deal. It involves regular worship attendance, using your gifts and service, being in community and some kind of group. And so part of what we're going for is ownership. Man, we want them to own this church. This is their church that they love it. They're part of it. And we see our members, they go deeper and deeper, and we need that. They form the core of what we do. I would also say this, and maybe I've said this on a previous podcast. We have to help people learn how to have pastors in this day. Like, most people don't know how to have a pastor.
I have no idea what you mean.
And here's what I mean. So here at Calvary, we believe that pastors actually know the sheep and are in their lives, which means when you're gone for a couple weeks, I'm going to call you.
Well, that's the next one we talk about here.
Okay, let's go to the next one then. Let's go to the next one.
We engage with those who are inconsistent in attendance.
But okay. Let me just say what this means. Go. You got it. Let's fight. Let's
Dan, you need to interrupt us and...
put him in a headlock, Dan. Give him a pile driver.
No, but one thing I wanted to say about... expectations at the outset. When we were at Orono Road, we took this from some other church. I don't remember where we even took it from, but it's a good one. We said to be a member of Orono was W plus two. W is corporate worship. We'd said that every Sunday. We'd put it on our bulletin so people knew if you're going to be a member here, corporate worship, unless you're sick or working or prevented, you are here in corporate worship.
Priority.
Two things, engaged in a small group and making service a lifestyle.
Good, I like
so
that.
So just simply letting people know what it means to be a member here. All right, now engaging with those who are inconsistent in attendance.
Okay, and here's what I was trying to say with the learning out of a pastor, is a lot of people, they don't even know their pastor, or their pastor hasn't ever proactively pursued them.
You probably don't remember this. We used to have something called Deacon Family Ministries.
Okay, tell us about that.
Some of the guys listening have Deacon Family Ministries. And sometimes they work well, I get that, but most of the time it was a program where you took the church families, you divided the families up into number, and you gave a deacon each family. So one deacon would have 10 families. So they were supposed to take care of those 10, which is really not biblical role of deacon. It's the biblical role of elder.
Right,
another story. Baptists didn't have elders. Yeah. We had deacons. So anyway, so it was a big deal back in the 80s. You'd have Deacon Family Ministry. And some of us always said it was like our secret Santa. We never knew who our deacon really was until once a year.
That's a good point because, you know, Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me.
Exactly.
And I think as pastors, that's good, by the way. That's really good. But we've not only, they need to know that we know them and they know who we are. You know, the bottom line is a pastor, that should be a joy for you. And it's not, let me give you just a few thoughts on following up on people who are not maybe consistent in worship. First of all, never make them feel guilty, ever. That's not going to help anybody. It's not going to cause. You lead with love and you lead, reach out to them. You know, there's times where we'll have folks who are gone several weeks. And honestly, I don't even bring up the fact that, hey, you were gone on Sunday, because I just know it's going to make them feel guilty.
Mm, good word.
I just reach out to say, man, how can I pray for you? Mm. What do you guys need? How can we serve you? I just love you. I'm so glad you're part of our church. Guilt doesn't do anything.
Wow.
And even though we want to in our flesh, we want to say, listen, pal, you haven't been around 6 weeks. What's the deal? That's not going to win anybody. I think, and the other thing I would say is know your people well enough to know how they feel loved by you. For some of them, a quick text message is great and they feel loved. For others, they need to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Make a phone call. I know younger generations don't like to talk on the phone.
Right.
I mean, we see that all the time.
Right.
You got to learn to use the phone. Why? Because you can hear my voice. You can hear my tone. And you know what? Others, they need you to stop by the house and just give them a hug. Sit on the, you know, I'm not talking an hour visit. I'm talking 10 minutes. And boy, they'll never forget that. So again, how do our people need to feel loved? And when we're following up on them, let's not lead with guilt. Let's lead with grace.
Oh man, those are good words. Excellent.
So let's go to the last one here.
Okay. We're back in case, you know, for you, just those of you who just joined us late, although nobody joins a podcast late, do they? They don't ever start in the middle. It's like a radio show. But anyway, we're just to remind you, we're looking at how to increase commitment in gathered worship attendance. You need to make worship more meaningful. You need to emphasize the family aspect of church membership. Make expectations clear at the outset. engage with those who are inconsistent in attendance in a positive way.
Okay.
And then Mark, number five.
Number five is engage members in small groups. Why are small groups important?
Well, because there's accountability there. There's connection there. You know, back in years ago, I think it was Lyle Schaller, somebody came up with a pretty exhaustive study that said people were like five times more likely to remain in a church if they had seven close relationships. Mm. If they like the pastor or the music, it's not going to necessarily
be sticky enough.
But if I've got five or six or seven close friendships in that church, even if the pastor leaves, even if the music changes, even if I'm going to stay there because that's where my relationships are. And as important as Sunday gathered worship is to make much of God and to honor him and to all things we talked about, it needs to be more than that in order to really develop those close relationships. Yeah. So you need to give people plenty of on-ramps to be engaged in small groups, whatever those look like.
Exactly. Could be Sunday school classes, could be home groups. Yep.
Could be any number of things, but be involved in some kind of a small group where there's a handful of people who know you and care about you and you know them and care about them.
And I would say this, if practically speaking, if you're hearing that and going, man, we really need to do a better job with small groups. I don't even know what to do. I would say find a pastor friend or a church that's doing it well. Pick their brain. There's obviously good books that have been written, but I think I love looking at those who are actually doing it. And there are a lot of pastors, I bet, in your own area that you could say, listen, how are you guys doing this? Can you help us think through this and maybe get this started or in a healthier spot?
I agree with Mark. Don't just ignore it. Don't walk away from it. And I would say one thing on it. If you're starting new small groups, one quick insight, don't start them up to last till infinity. You know, people don't want to sign up for Tuesday nights from now till Jesus comes back if they've never done that before.
Yeah, that's right.
Say, hey, we're going to do four Tuesday nights in a row. And they'll be a lot more likely to put their toe in the water and do something
Amen.
Like that.
Amen. Right? Easy on ramps, easy off ramps.
There you go. Easy on ramps, easy. Hey, thank you for listening, everybody. Please subscribe and put some good notes in here. Let us know what's going on in your life. Give us a ratings and review. It helps get the word out. And like I said, we have three of these each week, Tuesday and Thursday. It's Mark Halleck and I. And on Friday, a very special guest shows up for a special Friday edition. Thanks again for being with us. Dan, take us home, would you?
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.